Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, going to begin there in verse 1. Luke chapter 22, begin there in verse 1. I might be in a couple of other different places, but I'm going to primarily try to stay here. But I'm going to mention a couple of other things tonight because my message is more of a topical message this evening. But we're going to begin here in Luke chapter 22, and we're going to try to take a look at Judas here this evening, and a couple of other men, if time remains. If not, then we can carry it over till the next Wednesday. But here in the book of Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin there in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 to 6, then we'll read verses 19 to 23, and then we'll take a look at verse 47. As we get into the text here tonight, I want us to see, really, I wanted to talk about three men that as I was doing my studies and just kind of going through really the last day, if that's what you want to call it, of the Lord Jesus while he was here from the Last Supper on, three men really that the Lord Jesus was around that were lost, that kind of stuck out in my mind the most, maybe I guess perhaps more than maybe a few of the other ones. And the three men are this. I'll go ahead and give them to you. One, of course, is Judas. One, Barabbas. And then the other one was the thief on the cross. There were two that were there. One accepted Christ as his Savior. The other one did not. But I wanted us to really kind of think about these three men, because in this last day that the Lord Jesus was here from Gethsemane all the way to the cross, the Lord Jesus, of course, was with these three men there from the Last Supper, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on up to the cross. It was these three men, Judas, Barabbas, and the thief. We don't know what his name is. But as we look at these three men, there were some things that I found interesting that they had in common, and a few things that were different. But here tonight, I want to take a look at Judas, and we're going to begin there in verse 1. As we get into the text tonight, and I want us to pull some things out. I think it'll be a blessing to you. So let's read there in verse 1 and see some things that we can see here tonight. The Bible says, "The feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Then he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and coveted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude." I find it interesting there in verse 3 that we see, of course, as the Passover is about to take place and preparations are being made, that we see there in verse 3 that Satan, in the Bible says, enters into Judas. We see a possession, in essence, really, that Satan enters into Judas. And as Satan enters into Judas, we see there in verse 4 that he went his way to commune with the chief priests and captains, how he may betray him, talking about Christ. And there in verse 5, of course, we can see the Bible says that they were glad. The chief priests and the scribes, they were glad about what was happening. And there in verse 6, it says, of course, that he had promised that to betray him, that he was going to look for an opportunity to do so. What I thought was interesting is about Judas Iscariot. Now, we look at this man, and the very first truth that I want to come out about Judas is the very first type of man, as I want us to see, is that he was a religious man. Judas was a religious man. Even though he was a lost man, the Bible says that he calls him the son of perdition, that he went down to his own place. The Bible even shows us right here that we read it, that Satan entered into Judas. Judas, he was a man that, by all standards, I guess we would say, was a man that would probably, if there was anybody that wouldn't have an excuse to believe in who God is. Of course, the Bible says in Romans 1:20, we're all without excuse, because the heavens declare his handiwork, and even by the things, the creation itself bears witness that there's a God. But if there was any man that we could see that would say, well, there's no way that Judas would would not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, he was there with the Lord in his entire ministry, all part near. I mean, for 3 years, really, we see Judas Iscariot there with the disciples. But the Bible says a number of things about Judas, you know, throughout the scriptures. And Judas is one of the disciples. Of course, every time his name is mentioned, it's usually always mentioned with a reference to the one who betrayed Christ. And that's, of course, what he was known by. Also, something that's interesting about Judas is whenever we read the scriptures, the other disciples referred to Christ as Lord. But Judas always called him Rabbi. Never called him Lord, always called him Rabbi. Rabbi was teacher. And so Judas never referred to Christ as Lord, always called him Rabbi. I thought that was pretty interesting. And as you know, and of course, we see that Judas was a lost man. He was a man that was actually possessed by Satan himself. And who better to turn on the Son of God than Satan infilled in a man? And so that's of course what Judas did, of course energized by the devil. And so interesting thing that we can see about Judas, the Bible says there in verse 3 that Satan had entered into him. We understand, we read the Gospels, we see that Judas was a man who resided with the Lord. He was a man that stayed with wherever the Lord Jesus was. He was a man that was one of the 12 disciples, you know. And somebody would say, well, why in the world, if Christ knew, and of course he did, but if somebody would say, well, if Christ knew that Judas was going to be the one that would betray Christ, why in the world would he do it? Well, the Bible even says itself and gives reference to that very point so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, just because Jesus knew that Judas was going to do that doesn't mean that Christ made the decision for him. Jesus just already knew it was going to happen. Judas made the decision to do what he wanted to do. Just because Christ chose him to be a disciple or an apostle there doesn't mean that Jesus set him up for the fall. Doesn't mean that Jesus made the decision for him or anything like that. Judas still had the decision to make. But we see that in this decision, but Christ in his foreknowledge knew what Judas was going to do. He knew that Judas would never accept him. He knew that Judas was a thief, and that's what the Bible calls him. And Christ knew all of these things, but the whole reason why is so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And one of the other interesting things I want to just kind of throw out there as we're talking about these men, as we think about Judas and we think about Barabbas and we think about the thief on the cross, I want to throw this out there too. Out of all three of these men, there's one thing that as well that these men had in common. We think about Judas. What does the Bible call him? The Bible calls him a thief, was he not? The Bible says he was always reaching, and he was a treasurer, and he was always reaching to the bag and taking the money. And so we see he was a thief. Now we go to Barabbas, and what does the Bible say about him? Well, the Bible says he was an insurrectionist. In essence, he was an anarchist. He was militant, so to speak. He was a murderer, the Bible says, and the Bible also calls him a robber. So we have a thief, we have a robber, and then we get to the cross, and then who we have there? We have two thieves that are there on the cross. And so there is just another one of those things that all three of these men have in common. You have a thief in Judas. You have a thief there on the cross. And then right there in the middle, you have Barabbas, who is, the Bible says, is a robber. Now, a thief and a robber are two different things. They in essence, do the same thing, but they do it a different way. A thief takes it when you don't realize they're taking it. That makes sense. A thief kind of slides in under the cover on the radar, and they take it without you knowing it. A robber, he just kind of holds you up and takes it right there in front of you. Does that make sense? That's why you get into Malachi, and the Bible says when you're talking about, you know, tithing, God says, you know, will a man rob God? Talking about you tithing and offerings. And so when you think about robbing, it's not like we're not just sneakily taking it away from God. It's almost like we're holding him up and saying, I'm not giving it to you. You just give me everything you got. And so that's kind of what that is. So there's a difference between the thief and the robber, but we can see that these three men had something in common. They all, and one thing they have in common was, number one, of course, they were all lost. One other thing they had in common is, of course, they were all worldly men. They were wicked men. We also see that that they were all men that were selfish. They were all about themselves. You know, it was all about what can I get. That's why they stole, and that's why they took, and that's why they thieved, because they had no regard, no respect for anything, for anybody else. It was all about them. What can I do for myself, and how much of it can I get? I mean, Judas Iscariot himself, he was willing to give the Son of God up. He was willing to trade in the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Now he went back to try to give it back. The Pharisees wouldn't take it, so they went and bought some land to bury strangers in, called the Field of Blood. And so he ended up doing all of that, and it still didn't get anything. And isn't that oftentimes what happens? We get away from God, or we start going down the wrong path, and we have this agenda that I'm going to live how I want to live, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I'm going to grab all this, I'm going to grab as much of it as I possibly can. I don't care who I hurt, I don't care who I got to run over to get it, I don't care who I got to sell out, I don't care who I got to betray, I don't care who I got to even kill, I don't care who I got to take it from. I'm going to do all these different things, and there in the very end, it didn't help any of them. Because where do we find Judas? Well, when he got his 30 pieces of silver, what did he do? He tried to give it away, but then he went out and did what? He hung himself, did he not? Committed suicide. And then we think about Barabbas. The Bible calls him a robber. Now, what do we see? Now, he finally did get away, but there what he was. He was in prison. If it hadn't been for the Lord Jesus that was standing right there beside him and the crowd saying that we want to take Christ instead of kill Christ instead of Barabbas. But Barabbas, he was there in prison. I don't know whatever happened to Barabbas after this. I think he walks off the pages of Bible history. I don't think there's ever anything ever said anything about him after we see him there in the Gospels. So I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what secular history says about him. But I do know that we don't see him no more. But regardless of the fact, he got put in prison for that which he robbed and took, and it didn't do him any good neither. And then we get to the thief on the cross, and he got there, and he began to take things that weren't his. And then now, where do we find him? We find him nailed to a cross. And so we can obviously see that living this kind of life and doing these types of things doesn't get a man anywhere. All it does is get him in trouble. All it does is give him heartache, and all it does is usher in pain and bring pain to his life. But these three men had a lot of different things in common. And number one, we see the religious man. This religious man, we can see him, I believe, there in Matthew chapter 10, as Judas Iscariot goes out, not just him, but with the other disciples too. The other disciples, they go out, I believe it's there in Matthew chapter 10, and what did the Lord Jesus tell them to do? He says, I want you to go out and heal all manner of diseases and cast out demons and all these different types of things. And Judas Iscariot went out there with them. I find it interesting that we see this man who didn't ever refer to Christ as Lord, was a man that was lost, but yet God still gave him the power to go out with the rest of them and preach the kingdom. He went out there. He was the treasurer. He was a part of the in crowd. God gave him power to cast out demons and to heal and all these different types of things. And we sit and we try to wrap our minds and brains around, and we kind of think, man, how in the world can that happen? Well, it brings you to the very truth of where the Lord Jesus said, there'll be many that say in that day that I cast out demons and we did miracles and all the different types of things and done all these wonderful works in the name of Jesus. Will say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, for I never knew you. And so what I'm just trying to say tonight is that, listen, there's a lot of things, even in society today. I mean, we see there is so many things that's going on in this world today. And I'll just call it this, in the church realm, there's so many things that's going on that it would completely blow your mind. I mean, when you think about the things that's going on in certain places, and you're like, really? How in the world can people believe that? How can somebody fall for that? How can somebody go for something like that? And it just completely... is mind-boggling. But I tell you what, the devil is very deceitful. The devil is very deceitful, and the devil has a way of going in and blinding a man. And listen, let me tell you something. The devil is so deceitful, and a man's heart can be so hard, and a man's eyes can be so blind, that you can be just like Judas and serve God for 3 years and do the things that Judas did and even sleep out there where the Lord slept and walk with God and hear God, hear the Lord Jesus preach and see the miracles that he did, and even God even give you the power to even do it yourself on a limited time basis, you know, and even do that yourself and then steal Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And
And it's mind-boggling how a man can do something like that. But we see that Judas was a religious man. I mean, he dotted the I's, he crossed the T's. I mean, he followed everybody else. He followed the Lord. But he never called Christ Lord. He always referred to him as a teacher. And I thought that was extremely important because we often refer, when we think, because we'll, listen, when I think about Christ, I call him my Savior, I call him my Lord, you know, my Redeemer, all these different types of things. You know, I look at him as those types of things. But it seems like Judas Iscariot, he didn't look at the Lord like that. It looks almost like he looked at him as just maybe perhaps another teacher, or looked at him as just a great man who may help him to further his position in society or make him more rich. You know, it seemed like that's what he wanted. But even though he was religious and was with the in crowd, he was a man that was very disturbed in his heart. We can see there in, let's take a look in verses 19 to 23 of this very chapter. As we go through the Lord's Supper, the Bible says he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." And I believe you read the other Gospels, you'll see there are several different cups that they take part in as they're taking part in the Last Supper. And I believe Judas Iscariot left before the last cup, which talks about the blood, which symbol of talking about the blood of Jesus taken within yourself. He left and never partook of that last cup. Interesting thing about Judas we can see there, but there in verse 21, the Bible says, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." So they're all sitting there at the table, and Judas is sitting there, and of course the Satan at this time has already entered into him, and the last thing the devil's going to do is, of course, he's inside of Judas, and the last thing the devil's going to do is take part in that last cup that has anything to do with the blood of Christ. So he's going to leave before they even drink that. Before that ever even comes inside his body, he's going to leave and walk away. And so then we see right here, the Bible shows us that in this text that Judas Iscariot, the Bible says that he had a warning there in verse 22. The Bible says, "Truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." And so Christ even gave, in essence, a warning to Judas. And whenever, right before Judas left to go to the Pharisees that night, what is it that the Lord Jesus said to him? He said that he leaned over to Judas. And of course, Judas at this time, all the other ones said at this time, "Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord?" You know what Judas said? "Is it me, Rabbi? Is it me, Rabbi?" He never said, "Lord. Is it me, Rabbi?" And then Jesus looked at him and said, "That thou doest, do quickly." Christ knew what he was going to do. Christ knew what was inside of him. Christ knew the whole time. Why? Because the scripture must be fulfilled. But Judas here, a man who had warning after warning after warning, and then we fast forward a little, we see them there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord Jesus is there praying, and we see the army coming to him there in the middle of the night, and they all got their torches, and we understand that there is probably perhaps 200 or 300, I mean lots of people with torches and weapons that are coming out there to get Christ. And as they come out there, Judas, in essence, perhaps leading the pack, and because of the agreement with him, "The one whose cheek that I kiss is the Christ, is Jesus." And so he walks up to Christ and kisses Christ on the cheek, showing all the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, showing all the soldiers that were there that this is the one that they need to come after. I find it interesting that we can see this man. You think, how in the world could a man who was with Christ, how in the world a man who in essence preached the kingdom, who God gave him power to heal and to cast out demons and do all these different things, that he would fall for 30 pieces of silver? That he would that he would go in a different direction because of his own desires for perhaps power and prominence or possessions and money and these types of things. But that is one of the things that all three of these men had in common. We fast forward a little bit, and we go to Barabbas, because we hit every single one of these men very quickly. We see within it, we come to the betrayal of Christ there in the garden.
by Judas, of course, the Last Supper. And then we also, the next thing we do is we come to Barabbas. And then Barabbas, we see that the Lord Jesus had been scourged. The Lord took out, the Lord Jesus had been scourged. They brought him back in. And of course, Pilate, he's standing there and he's doing everything he can, in essence, really to show that Christ, to try to set Christ free. But we can see that Christ is over here. He's been scourged. His body, in essence, has been ripped apart and torn apart. He's bleeding out of every part of his body. His bones are manifested and showing. I mean, he has been completely, in essence, almost destroyed physically right there. And there he stands. And then Barabbas comes out over here, and they try to give away Barabbas. And Barabbas, the Bible says he was an insurrectionist. That he was a murderer, that he was a robber, and you know that he was just he was an evil, wicked man. And of course, Barabbas, he was a picture of us, his name meaning son of a man, and so you have the son of a man and the son of man standing right there, and the crowd chose to do away with Christ and take the son of a man. And what was Barabbas trying to do anyway? I mean, excuse me. Why was Barabbas an insurrectionist? Well, I mean, what was he doing? Well, what he was trying to do was he was militant. And he was trying to save his own country because he was fighting for the Jewish people. He was trying to save himself. He was trying to save the Jewish people. He was militant. He was against the government. He was against the Romans. And he was trying to save all these people. It's almost kind of like a picture of a man trying to save himself. Almost like a picture of a man that's trying to save the world himself, or a man that's trying to give himself freedom, a man that's trying to do all these things, but he can't do it on his own. Where'd he find himself? I mean, he gave everything he had. He ended up in prison. He gave all of his strength. He, of course, lost all that he had. And down now, here he is. We find him in prison here. And who was the only one that could really set him free? And he didn't even know what was going to happen, but it ended up being Christ. It was because of Christ that he was able to walk away. Which is a good picture of why we're able to go free. Amen? It's a good picture of why we're able to go free. Because listen, we can fight, and we can insurrect, and we can do all these things, and we'll lose everything we got trying to do so. And the only way that we'll ever be able to walk away free is if Christ takes our place. And so he was able to walk away, and Christ was there, and he took our punishment. But we see a good picture of Barabbas. And what was Barabbas? Of course, he was a picture of us. He, not only was he a religious, not only do we see Judas as a religious man, but we see Barabbas as a rebellious man. And isn't that what we are? We were to enmity against God, and we were rebellious against God. And Barabbas is a picture of us. Barabbas is a picture of us, and Judas is a picture of the religious world, the religious crowd that's not going to do anything for you. You're not going to get any gain out of it. Being religious is not going to prosper you. Does that make sense? Being religious isn't going to help a man, but Jesus can. Yeah. Amen. A personal Savior can help you. But just being a religious man and going through religious rituals and doing all those types of things, it's not going to get a man to heaven. So we can see how the religious crowd was. We can see how the rebellious crowd was, because we are part of that rebellious crowd. And so we can see that Barabbas was set free and he went on his way. But these men had something in common. One, they were lost. Number two, they were all thieves and robbers. They were all wicked. They were all in anarchy. They were all, in essence, sinful people, just like we. Now we're going to fast forward a little bit. Jesus, Barabbas has done walked away. Jesus has now been picked as the one that's going to be crucified. So Christ makes his way up to Calvary. And as Christ makes his way up to Calvary, of course, there he is with two thieves. And they get up there on top of Calvary, and we see that at one time, both the thieves up there were against Christ. Both of them were up there casting insults at the Lord. And both of them were up there, as all three of them were nailed to a cross. We see that both of the thieves that were there on either side of Christ were making remarks and making comments and saying things about the Lord. But then something happened to the one. He began to change in the midst of it all. As he began to listen to the religious crowd that was down there, as he began to listen to all these people down there talking about the Lord is, and let me go ahead and throw this out there too. Judas, he heard the gospel. He knew the gospel. Barabbas, did he get the gospel?
Well, as he stood there in front of everybody and the Lord Jesus right there beside of him, they said, listen, we wanna choose Barabbas. We don't want this guy. He calls himself the Son of God. Barabbas had the gospel sitting right there beside of him. And he walked away. Judas walked away. The thief on the cross, he rejected Christ as well. And he heard the gospel. We see that the other thief, he began to turn. He began to change because he heard all the remarks. Because what did the Pharisees say when they was looking at Jesus up there? They said, if you are the Son of God, come down from that cross. So everybody there was hearing the gospel. Everybody there was hearing about who Jesus is. And so we see the one thief, he began to change his heart and change his mind. And he looked at the other guy and he says, listen, we deserve to be where we're at, but this man hasn't done anything. But we deserve what we're getting. We deserve to be here. But this man hasn't done anything. It's also interesting, you go through the Bible and you see every time a reference is talked about Christ, and it's always, and Jesus is referred to as this man. You can do that, that's interesting. But he looks over there at his friend and he says, listen, we deserve to be where we're at, but this man, he hasn't done anything wrong. And then this thief over here, and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And while all that was going on, this thief over here, he heard it all, he saw it all, he witnessed it all, but he never said anything. And he died a lost man. There, right there, there on the cross, showing the path to heaven and the path to hell. And Jesus in the middle, who bridges the gap between both places. We see there with Barabbas, the son of a man and the son of man, how the son of a man, which represents us, can walk away free because of the Son of Man. You get down to Judas, and you can see that Judas Iscariot, he was a man that, of course, as we talked about, was religious. He was a man that preached the God. He was a man that preached Christ. He was a man that was on the in crowd. He was a man that, as I said, dotted the I's and crossed the T's and walked with the best of them. I mean, if there was anybody, like I said, that we would think, man, how in the world could you deny that Jesus is the Savior by all the things you've seen and all the things you heard and all the things you've done? And I think we look at ourselves and we say, you know what, is there anything of those guys in me? I mean, do I myself have these moments where I say to myself, Brian, how could you not trust God on this after all the things he's done? Amen? How could you maybe not believe this? Or maybe how could you do that? Or considering all the things that God has done. How could you maybe this or not pay it? Or how could you maybe not believe when you look up into heavens and you can see all the things that God has done? When you know that he's saved your very soul. And if he can hang on to your soul and keep your soul, the most important thing that you have, what can Christ not do? But we have these moments in our life, and I think we look at all three of these men, and some we can find, even sometimes, we don't like to admit it, but we can find some of ourselves in each type of these men. And the reason why I think we can is because we still have that old man within us. That old man is still there, and so we can still identify with some aspects of these men. But I'm thankful here tonight that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm on my way to heaven, and even though I see these men and the direction that they took and the gospel that they passed up. I mean, we see the religious man, we see the rebellious man, and then we see the thief on the cross. And I'm going to give you an R word, and you're probably not going to know what it is. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I couldn't find another one that ended in I-O-U-S. It's called rapacious. Some of you that are really smart may know what that is. But it just simply means rapacious. That defines the thief. And it means excessive greediness for money and possessions. And all three of these men had that in common. Just like all three of these men were lost. Just like all three of these men saw the gospel, stood beside the gospel, heard the gospel, and walked away. So as we think about these three men here tonight, and we try to find some
And we try to find some clues into their life that can help us as Christians to live better and to be better. I think when we look at these men, we can obviously see, as we stated already, and we'll close with this, that we can identify with every one of these men. Because there was a time that we were lost. Amen. There was a time when we were lost. And listen, sometimes, perhaps there still are times, or maybe there was just a time in the past when we were really all about what we can get out of the world. Listen, if we're not careful, the devil will get us that way, to forsake everything else and try to grab everything we can out of the world and just live for the world. Judas Iscariot, a man that lived with Christ, spoke for Christ, did miracles empowered by Christ, and still sold the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And then he ended up committing suicide, and it didn't do anything for him. The thief on the cross stole from somebody, thieved from somebody, and didn't do him any good. He ended up on a cross. Barabbas, he was a robber, murderer. Didn't do him any good. He ended up in prison. I think it's just a good way for us to see that inside of us is still that old nature that the devil wants to pull out sometimes to go in these directions. But I'm thankful that through the power of Christ, that because of the Son of Man, the Son of a Man, can walk away free. Praise the Lord for that tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night. And God, you have been so good. And Lord, I thank you for this study. Lord, as we have talked about these three men, what a blessing it was to me as as I was studying the facts on these men. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us tonight to be more equipped and have grown in the grace and knowledge of you and your word through it. Lord, as we go out into a world that we're able to teach these types of things to others or use these things as examples, Lord, I pray that you just bless our night tonight. I pray, God, you'd keep us safe this evening. That you'd help us to honor you with all that we can this week. Lord, I pray for this weekend, God, you'd keep everybody safe, lots of folks traveling and doing different things. Lord, I pray that you just wrap your arms around everyone that is traveling. And Lord, that you just keep everybody safe this weekend. You bring us all back here into your house on Sunday. God, we love you and thank you for it. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.